Welcome back to the Booty Bands More Than Fitness podcast, and today's topic is about the truth about weight loss and why it's keeping you trapped. And this is an interview where Gabrielle is actually interviewing myself, and I'm going into all of the reasons as far as why weight loss is just keeping us stuck and how we can really break free from it and get into the fat loss but yet still keeping our curves and getting faster and more successful transformations. Let's go into it.
Yeah, so our topic today is the misconceptions about weight loss. And I have a guest with me who's going to help me out. Her name is Danita. She's the owner and co-founder of Booty Bands and Barbells Registered, which is a female fitness brand to create long-term results. So Danita is a certified personal trainer, NQ bikini competitor, and a women's mindset and health specialist who is passionate about giving women the tools to look and feel their best from the inside. So let's cut fat and keep your curves. So I'm going to bring Danita onto the stage.
Hi.
Hey.
You are very passionate about this.
Yes.
And you have an interesting perspective on the way that women are losing weight. So I'm going to hand over the floor.
Yeah, so first I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be here. It's not weight loss, it's going to be fat loss. And the reason why is because weight loss, one, you're losing something, right? So when you lose your keys, your subconscious naturally goes into, I want to find it. So when you lose weight, naturally you're like, oh, I've lost this weight. But really it's about what you gained. And so I teach and re-educate women, focus more on gaining strength. Focus more on gaining your confidence. Focus more on gaining consistency, gaining a routine, gaining a lifestyle, gaining love for yourself. So gaining those things allows us to now step into a different and newer version of ourselves, rather than how many times have we said we want to lose that 5, 10, 15, 20 plus pounds? Like, we're constantly saying that. Like, when does that stop, right? It's when we start really reversing the thought and going, no, I'm going to start gaining something instead. And that's where the shift happens in our subconscious. But even a step back, let's go into really what weight loss is. Weight loss, you're losing three components. And Gabrielle, I don't know if you're still here, but I wanted to ask you and your followers right now, what are the three things that you lose in weight loss?
Is it fat, water? I'm afraid to say muscle. Do you lose muscle?
Yeah, so great job. You actually hit all three of them. So water, fat, and muscle.
Okay, it is muscle.
Yeah, so think about that for a second, because for us that are trying to lose the weight and we're losing muscle with weight loss, like think about jumping up on a scale. You're the first thing that people do when they go to weight loss is they start working out and they start eating less. They start cutting back on their calories or they try to improve their calories, right? So naturally what happens when you're in weight loss, you go into a nutrient deficient. So sometimes we're not getting enough, not sometimes. All of the women I have spoken to, if I were to go through your diet, I will find that 100% of the time, women aren't not getting enough protein in. And so they're not feeding their muscle. And then if they're in a cardio and they're just doing a bunch of cardio, excessive cardio, where they're not doing any resistance training or weightlifting, you're losing muscle. So there is a stat out there, 3 to 5% of your muscle is decreasing every decade after the age of 30. So hold on. You're losing 3 to 5% of your muscle mass. This isn't when you're just in weight loss. This is just because of age. So now think of when you're in weight loss. Now think about that percentage on how it goes up. So when you're losing your muscle, what does that really mean?
Well, we need muscle, right? So if we're losing muscle, well, I know that we're getting slimmer, right? Am I in the ballpark? I don't know.
Yeah, you're doing great. So muscle, and I'm glad we're having this conversation because it allows those to kind of think about it a little bit more, because I didn't know this either. Muscle is actually really linked to your metabolism. So when we are slowing and losing the muscle, you're slowing down the metabolism. So let's go back into that Biggest Loser show on NBC. Do you remember that show? So they brought on like really big celebrities on this show. Like I'm talking 300-400 pounds, and they were bringing people in and they were going to show them, hey, we're going to take you through a weight loss journey. So 12 months later, they have done stats. How many people do you think have gained the weight back? And if not gained the weight back, gained back more than what they started the contest with? They've actually said 90 to 100% of them, most of the contestants have actually gained the weight back. Now that to me literally stabs a knife through my stomach. Like that makes me feel so sick for these people that they were publicly on NBC or ABC, I think it was NBC, but this huge show about how they lost all this weight. They went from like 300 pounds and they lost like all the way down to like 170 pounds. Like it was ridiculous how much weight these people lost. And now you're telling me that they've gained the weight back and some of them have gained back more. So they have a slower metabolism than the average typical person. So not only did they sabotage their metabolism, what they also did is they sabotaged their mindset. So if you go back and watch the show, if you remember, they were yelling at these people. They were like, you fat slob, get up and do this. Do you really want it? Do you really want it? Like they were just yelling at them, right? So I truly believe that the way to actually really change your body is through your mind first. And if you start saying positive words to yourself and you start loving yourself and you really change this to be a positive version, then your body's just going to naturally follow. But if you're saying you're a loser, called The Biggest Loser is the title of it. That's what it was called, The Biggest Loser? And so to me, like psychology-wise, like you go into the neural chemistry of a brain and you start telling people that they're losers, like, yeah, they're going to gain the weight back. And so that's why this toxic weight loss loop for me is understanding first the chemical part of our brain. And then the next is really understanding truly how to speed the metabolism. That's the two components. That's really where it's at. We use resistance and weights to, instead of just doing excessive cardio or starving yourself, we go into implementing what you're going to gain. You're going to gain strength. You're going to gain confidence. You're going to gain less pain because why? You're now putting muscles on your body, lean muscles, which is going to give you that shapely curve. The majority of people that go in weight loss are so dissatisfied by the end of weight loss because they've lost all their curves. So we show them when you're on the weight loss journey, how you can get your shape even when you're losing the weight. So that's why we say cut fat and keep your curves because it's really about building that. So any questions so far? I know I'm rambling.
Well, I just wanted to share a point, particularly about The Biggest Loser. The contestants, there's no routine. They're just kind of doing it. And then all of a sudden it stops. And then it's like, now what? Keep these skills going beyond the show.
Yeah, that's a great point that you bring up because it is important to be able to have a routine so you can follow something to be able to give you that consistency, which builds the habits, which then creates those lasting results. And so that's something that we just incorporated into our business just recently, that when you download the Booty Bands and Barbells app, you're going to be able to get four things as soon as you download it. One is going to be a personalized workout routine. The next is a nutrition routine. A third is progress tracking, and then fourth is your daily checkoff list. And that really provides people a structural way of how they can keep their consistency of their journey.
So let's get into the things that we're doing wrong in terms of weight loss. So you brought up a few things. So starvation, eating less, the excessive exercise, what other things are we doing wrong?
What specifically women in general are doing wrong. So starvation, that is a huge one. Why? Because what's happened in the weight loss industry, which is, by the way, an $80 billion industry that keeps people in the toxic weight loss loop. Most women I speak to go into starvation mode because they think that the less calories in, they'll be able to get smaller. But what they've noticed is it doesn't work. And here's the reason why. When you go into starvation mode, your body, when it's too low of calories, it goes, uh-oh, when am I getting to my next meal? It goes into sleep mode. Your body ends up storing and holding on to the fat because it doesn't know when it's getting its next meal in. Our bodies are really smart. Your body needed to preserve energy so that it could wait until its next meal. There's no different from us being caveman era and right now. So the worst thing possible that women are doing is when they decrease their calories way too low. So how do they do this? Most women are skipping meals. I ask them, I'm like, how many meals did you have today? One, maybe two. Of what? That is my first sign immediately that you're in starvation mode and your body is not working with you, it's working against you. Your body is holding on all the weight, and that is why you're not losing the weight. Do not tell me that your body is just meant to be that way. Do not tell me that it's your genetics, and don't tell me that it's your age, because I used all those excuses too. And it wasn't until I found out what I was doing wrong. The next one is excessive cardio. Immediately when people go into weight loss, they think, okay, I just got to pick up my cardio. Well, in cardio, you're not doing anything for your muscles. If anything, if you didn't eat enough that day and you're going into cardio, you're burning more muscle. So when instead of thinking about the treadmill, I go to more the direction of high intensity. So short, intense workouts, HIIT and resistance training at the same time will make it so your body has to go back to its homeostasis. And that is when your body is going to be using way more calories after the workout. So your 10, 15 minute workout is not 10, 15 minutes. It's definitely like an hour plus. Like it's definitely going to be, I mean, you're burning calories up to 24, 48 hours after this type of workout. So, and probably the last one I would say is letting your mind run your fitness. When you go into the excuses or when you go into the self-sabotage, that's the biggest hindrance I can see on any weight loss journey is truly that psychology aspect. So those would be the three, I would say.
So can you give an example of how women sabotage themselves? So what kinds of things do they say? What do they think about themselves? What kind of things have your clients told you?
I might cry. So if you talked about Ruel, this is where this is obviously very deep and emotional to me because I hear what is going on personally in these women's life. So if you don't see passion at this point, now you can. What I see is a self-sabotage loop that usually consists of this. There's a trigger, and that trigger can happen at a certain time in your life. And I'll give you an example of one particular member that I just had recently. It usually can start around a really young age, or it can be, it can even be up in like your grade school. It really can depend anywhere. What happened is she was about 9 years old when her mom remarried to her stepdad. And when her stepdad came into the picture, he goes, "Hey, hun," to the mom, "Hey, hun, I really think we need to have," I'm just going to use a name, Sarah. "I think we're really going to need to have Sarah lose some weight. She's kind of getting a little bit overweight. And what's not going to be good is when she gets into like middle school and high school, she's going to be made fun of." And so the mom said, "Okay, I'll go to her." So the mom went up to her and was like, "Hey, Sarah, let's start figuring out how we can lose some weight. Let's do this. Let's do some diet and some exercise together." Well, in that moment is when she thought that she was broken. She thought that she wasn't enough, and she thought she needed to be fixed. Those were the three things that she took away that she now identified with at that age. She goes, "I'm broken, I'm not good enough, and I need to be fixed." So that's her trigger. So then what happens is she goes through her life. She's now at the age of 40. So this has been going on ever since the age of 9. Okay, so everyone keep that in mind. So her trigger, her loop, she gets triggered by could just be somebody looking at her. And immediately the thought of, "I'm broken. I'm not enough." Immediately what she did in that moment, she goes into the thought of, "I feel bad for other people that they have to look at this. I'm just a disgrace to human body, a humankind. Like I should never be taking pictures or videos, anything. Like I should never have my body put on display." That's her thought, which then goes into a feeling. The feeling is, "I'm hopeless. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve me, and nobody deserves me. Hence the reason why she's also single, not on top of a weight loss issue, but she's also struggling with trying to find the love of her life. But she goes into that void, that empty void of hopelessness. That hopeless, empty void always goes into eating to fill the void. That's usually the typical thing I see next is comfort food. And so that's what she does. She goes into something that makes her feel good because she's feeling so crappy. And so she eats the crappy food. And then after that, she feels obviously even more crappier, right? You feel good in the moment, but then you feel crappy later on. I feel like we all have been there. And at that point, she does not go out and see people. She stays inside. She completely introverts herself. And that is hence the reason why she has never found the love of her life and why she continues to keep gaining the weight. There's your sabotage cycle.
So did she ever lose? Well, she's before you. Did she ever lose the weight?
She never lost the weight. She said she has been stuck in this ever since the age of 9. And she has continued to keep gaining weight and continuing to keep wallowing in her sorrows and never being able to find any hope. And so she joined my mindset class just about a month ago, probably about 2 months ago. She joined my master class. And in the mindset master class, we had to jump on a Zoom, kind of like this, but obviously with a group of women. And she reached out to me on the first day and she goes, Danita, I don't think I can do this. And I go, why not? And she goes, well, I just can't sit and look at myself on a video for that hour call every week. It's too much for me to look at myself. And I go, oh, okay. This class is going to be the most perfect thing you could possibly have ever done for yourself then. So I'm not letting you exit out of this. In fact, I'm going to do an interview with you and I'm going to pull you in closer to it. She's like, oh, don't do that. And they said, well, let's do a one-on-one call first. And that's where I found her loop. That's where I found what her sabotage cycle was. Now, in our mindset class, we actually show women what that is. We do it to every single woman in the master class because sometimes they don't know. They don't know what is going on. It's obviously a deeper part of the subconscious mind. And it isn't until you bring it to the conscious mind that you finally have that aha moment. But for her, when she finally realized what it was, she goes, oh my gosh. And I said, yeah. So the next step is to do the empowered actions. So we wrote out what her loop was and we wrote out what her self-love loop is. And she has now, her transformation, not only in her mind, but her physical body is now coming with her mind. She is dropping the weight. She's going out in public. She's taking photos. She's running around with her best friend, going and meeting others, going and meeting guys. And her life, literally, like if I were to read some of her comments, it is life-changing, transformational, completely a whole different person. Literally, I'm like, girl, I cannot wait to see you in 6 months. You're going to be you're going to be married. You're going to be married and the most fittest person I've ever met. Like, so this girl is completely on the road of success faster than I've ever seen anyone else. And it's just because of, she was so done with that loop. She was so ready.
Awesome. Awesome. Good for her. So what's your take on diet? So we have the low carb diet. I think there's like the fruit and nut diet. There's a lot of different diets out there. So what's your take on diet?
My take on diet is that it's really confused and overwhelmed a lot of the women I speak to. At this point in time, they really don't know what is going to work for them because they have tried every single diet program out there. And by the time I get a hold of them, they are like literally deer in headlights. They have no idea what's going on. And so they just are like, Danita, tell me exactly what to do. Like, that's kind of the point that they're at, is like, I'm so over trying to figure it out. And so what I do is, the number one thing, I don't believe in diet. I believe that 80% of people that fail diet is inaccurate. I believe that 80% of diets fail people. And I believe that because there should be no such thing as restrictive dieting. Because the second you restrict yourself, you immediately go into like, I want it. You want it more. I think keto is not sustainable. I think low carb diets are not sustainable. I think just eating fruits and nuts, whatever you just said, is not sustainable. So something that's not sustainable is not going to get you to your goals. So all of these fad diets that are coming out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what about the eating 3 small meals a day or 4 small meals a day or eating every 3 hours, things like that? What do you think of that?
Yeah. So what happens in this $80 billion industry of weight loss is they'll come out with something new every single 6 months. Like, so there's something new always. Always there's like, oh, wait, no, myth. Oh, that was a myth. Let's try this one. All right. There's all these different ways. What I do is I take the person where they're at. I meet them at the place where they're at. And I go, okay, you're having 2 meals a day. Well, we obviously know you're putting yourself in starvation mode. We don't want to do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to bump it up to 3 meals a day. And I just meet them where they're at. I just focus on being 1% better than what they were yesterday. So instead of being like, okay, we're going to completely change your whole lifestyle and we're going to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this. It's really overwhelming for people. That's most likely not going to fit with their current lifestyle.
All right. So tell me your steps. First, you identify the negative toxic loop, and then what?
So Booty Bands and Barbells is built off of a 3-step program. And that is really where we go into. So the 3 things. One is going to be the mindset. And that's what you just said. We find out what the self-sabotage loop is so we can rewire the subconscious mind so that you can start to really love yourself and find yourself in a self-love loop and start having the power and control over your life again and control over these voids that you're feeling. That's step one. Step 2 is going over your nutrition. Nutrition, I really find out where you're at, what you're doing, and how we can improve that, being 1% better. So focusing on just learning the new ways. The 3rd step is learning how to do the workout. So instead of thinking about 45 minutes of or an hour of cardio, focusing on 10 to 15 minutes of strength training and really diving into cutting fat and keeping the curves. That's a 3-step to success for us.
So you brought up nutrition. So let's talk about that. So what should we be taking in, more protein? What can we do to improve our nutrition?
Yeah. So can I choose you personally?
Sure.
Okay. So we'll use you as an example. The first question I would ask you is, how many meals did you get today?
Well, I'm probably one of those people on starvation mode. So probably like 2 meals a day.
Yeah. And again, there's no right or wrong answer. This is all about education. So, you know, I really focus on just like kind of going back into the place that you're not broken. And that what you were taught was your journey, and to embrace everything that is the past, finding yourself in that self-love loop. But what we're going to do is we're going to focus on bringing you 1% better than what you were, let's say, yesterday. So if you're at 2 meals today, the challenge that I have would be for you tomorrow is to have 3 meals instead. Now, that doesn't mean 3 meals. That could just be 2 meals and a snack. So what that could be, something that I teach a lot of women, if they're like, ooh, but I don't have time, or it's really hard to eat healthy, or it's really it's expensive to eat healthy, or whatever those ways are. I run around with a protein shake with me. I have probably 1 or 2 of these a day. So when on my busy days, I literally just throw water or milk into a container like this and run out the door. So that would be a challenge for you, is have your 2 meals and then a protein shake. Is that something you can do?
I think so. But then what about the meal itself? Like, what kinds of food should I be eating?
So let's dive into that. So now that we know how many, so we want to go into the quantity, right? I'm going to inch your way up. Eventually, I want to get you up to probably about 5 or 6 meals, but it really kind of depends on what your body is telling you. When your body is telling you that it's having cravings, it's actually a message that your body is trying to send you. What it's really trying to send you is that your body is lacking nutrients. And so that's what happens, is when you're only eating about 2 meals a day, you're going to find yourself really having massive cravings. And especially as a woman, you might have found that around your menstruation time, the last 2 weeks of your menstruation cycle is when you're going to have more cravings. And that's not built by just randomly. It's because your body around that time uses up 80% of the nutrients you've had all month long. So can you imagine a pregnant woman? Like, right on top of that. So when you're having two meals a day and your cravings are through the roof, it really means that your body needs more nutrients. And the second I put somebody on three meals a day, but I focus on more nutrient-dense food, immediately their cravings start to go away. So cravings, when you start to add more nuts and seeds and vegetables and fruit into your diet, you'll find that the minerals are coming more from those items and making it so you have less cravings. So the sweets and the breads and the fatty foods and all that are going to be less tempting for you. So that's step number one. The next step is learning how to really balance out each one of your meals. So let's go back into today. My question for you is, how many of your meals today had protein in them?
I would say both of them, actually.
Okay. And about how much? Would you say the majority of it or just a small percentage? Like what percentage of each one of those meals? If like Give me your first meal so I can kind of break down the percentages with you.
Okay. I had a few empanadas with steak in it, like a Philly cheesesteak.
So let's kind of write everything that would be in this wrap. So the wrap, obviously, cheese, steak, and what else?
The one that I had in particular was just the steak, but I'm saying in general, there's like you pack things into it.
Okay. And I know that empanadas, they seem, if I remember correctly, they're deep fried, right? Like you wrap them in that with the steak and then you throw them in the deep fryer, right?
Yeah, they're deep fried.
Would you say that the amount of steak that's in there, would you say like it was like four strips of steak or was it how big, like the size of your fist, the size of your palm, like maybe just a couple fingers, like kind of give me an idea how much steak?
I would say the size of my palm.
Okay, that's great. So that's probably around like 4 ounces, you know, anywhere from like 3 to 4 ounces maybe. So I would say, like, if we were to break this down into a percentage, the first thing I do is I have the women send me their food. From there, we start to figure out what their percentage is, just like what we're doing right now. So the percentage of this one meal, I would probably say is going to be around 60, 70% carbs, probably like 20 to 30% protein and maybe like 20, 30% fats.
Probably.
I mean, or give or take, you know, I'm just kind of throwing numbers. That's amazing that you had protein. The only thing is your carbohydrates, your fats are a little high on that. So this is what I would do. I would say still have your empanada. It's great. Love it. What I want you to do is we're missing a lot of fiber in this and fiber is what's going to make your waist small. And nobody ever told me this. My parents always said, well, eat your vegetables before you have your dessert, but they never told me why, right? And nobody ever tells us why to eat our vegetables other than, yeah, they're healthy for you. But like as a kid, like what does healthy mean, right? Okay, that's great. I live longer. I don't know. But when somebody were to say to you right now, if you were to have some vegetables on the side of this, the fiber cancels out the carbohydrate, therefore making it so your waist is going to be smaller the next day. Ooh, now you're talking to me. So what I would do is I would still have your empanada, but what I would do is I'd probably only do half of it. Or if you had, let's say maybe you had two or three of them, I would have only one empanada and then I would load it up with your favorite vegetables on the side, broccoli, asparagus, Brussels sprout. I don't know. Maybe it's a salad, whatever it is that you prefer. Now, some people don't prefer certain vegetables, so I don't want to say, oh, well, you should do this, right? You pick your favorite vegetables, but that right there is how you're going to be 1% better in just the percentage of your plate. Does that make sense?
Right. You're saying to eat less of the empanada and more of vegetables.
Yeah, but here's the thing. See how I didn't take away the empanada from you? See how I didn't put you on a diet? I didn't put you on a diet. I didn't restrict you. I just said, I'm going to take down the empanada and I'm going to put something that's also, I'm replacing the other empanadas with something that's healthier. So you still are able to get that satisfaction of eating the things that you enjoy. But what's interesting is if you do this over time, over and over and over, what you'll notice is that eventually over time, you're going to start to make healthier decisions. Now, this is called, instead of restrict, it's called replace. Instead of being perfectionist, I talk about progression. So as I progress you through this stage, eventually you're going to get to the point where you're like, ooh, I found even a healthier option. And your taste buds are going to start to enjoy them. Believe it or not, you actually do change. Your stomach, your taste buds, everything will transition and change. But it just takes slow steps as you go through that process.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'm still enjoying what I love, but eating more fiber, for example.
Here's a perfect example. I think just as we're on the topic of like food and nutrition, how often do you think to yourself, calories in versus calories out?
pretty often.
Okay. So that's probably one of the biggest hindrance that I've seen that the weight loss industry has done to especially the female brain, is because when a female thinks to herself, okay, if it's about calories in versus calories out, I'll starve myself. Okay, that's easy. And I truly believe that people that are overweight are not lazy. These are hardworking people, but they're just doing it inaccurate. Now, it's because why? To eat only two meals a day, that's actually really hard. You're telling yourself all the time, nope, don't eat it. Nope, don't eat it. Nope, calories in. Self-sabotage. So that mind of constantly telling yourself you're not enough, you're not good enough, et cetera, is a constantly putting yourself in a self-sabotage loop. But let's dive into really what calories in, calories out really means. If I had a thing over here of juice, let's just say it's orange juice, and it's a whole thing of orange juice, and let's say it's 200 calories, okay? You with me?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Over here, I've got a protein shake, okay? And let's say it's the same amount of calories, 200, I put some milk in there, and protein shake, juice, okay? Same calories, 200 calories.
Yeah.
Do they have the same results?
No.
Why not?
Well, I guess the orange, well, the protein shake is more manufactured and the orange juice is natural.
Okay, let's go into this. So when I was gaining weight, I had love handles. I couldn't fit into my jeans anymore. And I was only 20 years old and I was starting to gain weight. And I couldn't seem to lose it. No matter how little of calories I had, I used the excuse it was my genetics. I used the excuse that it was my age. I was 20 years old. But guess what I was doing? I was following the system. I was following the $80 billion weight loss industry where they were saying fruit is healthy for you. Yes, it is. But should you be drinking loads of juice? Hell no. And that's what I was doing. Instead of soda, I was like, I'll just drink juice. Juice has tons of sugar in it and it doesn't have the fiber in it. So what happens is you're spiking your blood sugar. It has no protein. And so you're just spiking your blood sugar. So I have a whole video about how you should really balance your blood sugar so that you can have a smaller waist. And it's just as simple as this. Have half of juice with a half a protein shake, or have half a juice with a protein bar. What you're doing is you're balancing out your blood sugar instead of spiking it through the roof. Because when you take sugar and you add fiber and protein into the same meal, you're balancing out your blood sugar. Therefore, you're making it so your waist gets smaller. I don't know if this makes sense. There's probably should be a whole video that we can go into. The thing is juice is not healthier than a protein shake, especially if you're trying to get into weight loss. And the reason why is because this doesn't feed the muscle. Juice isn't feeding the muscle. It's just feeding the fat if you're having too much of it. But a protein shake, you're feeding the muscle. Does that make sense?
Right. So it's better to take in more protein than more sugar.
Correct. And now I'm not saying to not have juice. I'm not saying to not have fruit. But what I am saying is my fruit that I have in the day is berries. Like in my oatmeal in the morning, I'll have like blueberries and raspberries. And that's my fruit. I don't drink my fruit. I eat my fruit. That's how it's supposed to be. Like that fiber that you have with it, the antioxidants are amazing. But I don't eat fruit the rest of the day. The rest of the day, I focus on vegetables and protein, and that's how I'm able to keep a 25-inch waist when before I had a 35-inch waist. So how I was able to go down 10 inches is clearly just the reason of how I've been able to manipulate my food. But let's go back to calories in, calories out. Wait a minute. Calories in, calories out. They were the same calories, but they're different results. So many people think that drinking fruit is okay, but they have no idea what it's doing to their stomach. And so with the second I teach women about when you balance out your fruit juice and start putting more protein and fiber, you can still have your juice. Just don't have a whole cup of it. Have maybe half a cup along with something else. And so now the results and what your body is going to do, your body is now going to be a fat burning machine. It's going to start working for you rather than against you. And so this belief of women thinking I've got to have less calories, do you see that's now been the problem?
So what about like the low calorie sodas and the zero sugars and the diet Snapple?
low calories and the diet Snapples and like artificial sweeteners and things like that. Well, what happens is, I've done that. The artificial sweeteners, what it does is it naturally puts your senses at a love for sugar this high. So you get accustomed to sugar this high. And so everything that you, every meal, every day, like your body becomes naturalized to like what you do every day. So you'll notice that you're in a habit and a routine, and your body is going to tend to crave certain things that you had like in that week. So if I have artificial gum all the time, drink tons of artificial sweetener, and it was just spiked clear up here, right? So everything I always wanted was always at this level. It wasn't until I did 3 months that I took a challenge and I said, I'm going to reduce my sugar intake, artificial sweetener, everything. And I'm just going to slowly do it. I'm not going to be like, fuck, I'm not going to go from here to here. Remember, it's progression over perfection. So I just started weaning it out slowly. So instead of a full cup of juice, a half a cup of juice, things like that, right? If I was having the artificial sweetener, I would just start taking it down a little bit. What happened is my body naturally started becoming accustomed to it around here. So when you do that, then when I would have something sweet and it went up here, my body was like, oh, way too sweet. No, 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 no. Now I've gotten to a point, I'm clear down here. And if I have something sweet, literally I'm like, whoa, 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 that's too much. Like I can have just like a tiny little sprinkle of like honey on my oatmeal, where before I would be going crazy with sweetener, thinking, oh, I'll get away with it. So again, it's progression over perfection. So slowly starting to bring down the sugar, artificial or not. And the things that you said, such as like the low carb diets and those things like that, it's not about taking those away. It's remembering that the cravings you're having is coming from the lack of nutrients. So ask yourself, it's not about the calorie. It's about the nutrient dense of the calorie. Why? Because when you have nutrient dense in your calorie, you're going to have less cravings. You'll be able to not spike your blood sugar. You'll be able to balance out your hormones. You'll be able to have less stomach fat. I mean, the list goes on. So it's not about counting calories. It's about the density of your calories. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any final advice for the people listening? Maybe they're trying to lose fat, not lose weight, or maybe they need some nutrition tips or anything, any final advice that you would like to give?
Yeah. Final advice. I mean, everyone's really different as far as their journey, and I don't want to put everyone into kind of a lump sum of everything. I do believe that your specific journey is very unique to you, but I will tell you the advice I can give you. It is possible. It's very doable for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your genetics. It doesn't matter your level. I will show it and prove it to you that you are absolutely able to transform. If you are following a certain method before, it's okay. I'm just going to focus on showing you how to progress towards the journey and how you can really fall not in love with yourself here, but also here. Loving yourself on both aspects and really transforming your life with its mind, body, and life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. So you can find Booty Bands and Barbells. They are all over social media. They are on Facebook. They are on YouTube, Instagram. And if you want to learn more about their products, their services, you could also go to their website at bootybands.com.
Awesome. Wrapping up, we hope that this left you with some valuable information that you can help with improving your mind, your body, and your life. Really, we're about helping you step into your best self, and that's why we do these weekly, so that we can hear from you and how it resonated. So go ahead and write us a review, and we will pick weekly giveaways on our unique booty bands to give away. So thank you guys so much for listening. It was awesome having you on. I'm very excited to leave your review. Make sure to hit subscribe so that you can get notified on any future podcasts that come out. And of course, join the community and join the app called Booty Bands and Barbells, where you'll find us in the workouts, the meal plan, and of course, all the fun challenges. I'll see you soon, and I'll see you in the workouts.